The Feeling, submitted by Sahara.
Hi, Edie and Nick. This story happened while I was drawing and listening to some creepy TikToks. My house was built in 1910. It has a huge oak tree, a little over 100 years old, in the front yard. There's a swing on the tree. My first strange encounter happened there. One time, while I was sitting on the swing, I had an intense feeling of being watched. I even heard children's laughter. There are no children at my house or even at my neighbor's. They sounded so close to my ear. When I looked around at the oak tree, I saw a light vision of a little girl. She was peeking around the tree, smiling, and she was gone. So I lived on the second story of my house. I've always been afraid some sicko would climb up there and watch me through the window that's behind me when I'm at my desk. And it's not just my imagination that this could happen. There is a little patch of roof that someone could easily get up on. It's not that tall, and my dad had obstacles in his garden bed. I was at my desk working on my sketchbook for art class. I heard a knock from my window behind me. A chill ran through me. Once again, I had that intense feeling of being watched. And the knock did not sound like someone hit it or an animal. I just didn't look. When I didn't look, a whole murder of crows fly down and sit in front of my front yard, directly in front of my window. I randomly started spitting out Hail Mary verses and some of Michael the Archangel's prayer. Then I kept repeating, "You are not welcome here," as clear as I could, and the feeling subsided. Finally, I grabbed a sharp wooden pencil. I flipped around, only to find nothing at my window. The crows were gone. My heart and mind were racing to try and figure out what happened.
All right, welcome to the True Scary Stories with Edie podcast. This is the podcast where two stand-up comedians read scary stories submitted to us by our fans, the Uglies. And this is the podcast that is actually called True Scary Stories with Edie and Nick.
Yeah.
I just messed it up. I messed up in the first sentence. If you want to send us a scary story, you can do it on the Facebook group, the Instagram, or on the website, all at True Scary Stories with Edie. This is a podcast, and Nick, this is a podcast that has commentary. So if you're not into that, check out the episodes of Just the Terror, which have no commentary. Yeah. All right. I gotta remember the Nick and Nick and Nick and Nick and Nick. I tried to put Nick's name first, but he didn't want it.
No, I don't like it.
I'm not going to say, I listened to the episode I did by myself, and you would not believe how many times I go, it was so annoying. Yes, it was very annoying.
You listened to yourself?
Yes, yeah. I hate listening to myself because of that, because I'm just like, shut up, Edie.
Oh, man.
And I can't believe it, too, when I hear it back. I'm like, I can't believe I said it that many times.
Well, it happens.
I'm working on it.
I
did it again.
Yeah, you did it again. Scary story. I mean, there's no really, I don't think there's much to dissect here other than scary, scary tree, scary house. I don't know what to tell you. You did everything you could. So there's really not much to say, but scary.
Sometimes the scariness of the little girl ghost, which I'm actually going to talk about some little girl ghost myself.
Oh, no.
Is the worst part of it.
Yeah.
And I like how, Sahara, you didn't doubt yourself. It's so easy to doubt yourself. And if you know what you know, then you got to know it forever. The things I've seen, I try to doubt myself about it all the time. And I'm like, nope, you said you knew. So don't let your mind erase it. Remember the fear of it.
Remember the fear.
All right, let's get into the podcast. And for my portion of the podcast, I'm going to be talking about the Lou Laurie Mansion. This was famously depicted in the American Horror Story TV show. I watched it. It really freaked me out. And then it freaked me out more to know this was all based on true events. So this is going to be a little bit graphic, scary. So hold on to your own self.
Okay,
give yourself
I'm
a hug.
All right.
So the Lou Laurie Mansion is a 12,000 square foot mansion that was built in 1831. It was built for Delphine McCarty Lou Laurie and her third husband. Dang!
Wow.
The third husband. I did. That's really rare because I feel like they didn't really do stuff like that back then.
That you
but,
know of.
But yeah, you're right. I wasn't there. His name was Dr. Lewis. Lou Laurie. They were famous for throwing extravagant parties. They loved a party. They had a big mansion and they were very wealthy. I mean, yeah, the guy was a doctor.
Yeah.
So people found Delphine. She was very sweet. They found her and her husband to be very good people. He's very smart, up-and-coming young doctor, and she was seen as a good hostess. And on April 10th, 1834, Delphine was hosting a party when a fire broke out in the kitchen and spread to the slave quarters. So Delphine assures her guests that it's okay. I mean, my house is just on fire, but whatever, it doesn't matter. And that there were no slaves in the slave quarters.
Mm-hmm.
So they move everybody outside. They take the band outside. And they grab some of their, like, favorite possessions. Like, their, I don't know, their china, their Netflix subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. You know, your train set, everything you love. For me, it would be my picture of a mushroom.
There you go.
I'd run out with that. Or my Dumbo from 1950. So they all run out. The band runs out. And they just continue to party outside. Typical New Orleans style.
Yeah.
And Delphine is like, it's okay. There's no slaves here. Just let my house burn down. No big deal. But what happened next is where the whole story gets really crazy.
Oh, man. These Lulories.
The people who were at the party started to suspect that there were actually slaves in the slave quarters. They were hearing sounds of people screaming, and it was really breaking up the party. And they decided to get someone to come and investigate and maybe save whoever was still left in the house.
Yeah, this is terrible. This is terrible.
I know. So
my God.
So let's get into what they found. This passage comes from NOLAGhost.com, and it is titled "Turmoil and Tragedy in the Slave Quarters." Eventually, some of the guests grew concerned about the possibility that some slaves may have been trapped in the quarters. Brushing past the hosts and their crude objections, they burst into the slave quarters. Smoke billowed into the streets as one by one the slaves stumbled out of the building to reveal the horrid conditions they were kept in. Beaten and starved by their owners, a dozen or so mutilated slaves gathered on the sidewalk on Hospital Street, to the horror of the guests that still assembled outside. The slaves' bodies were bruised and broken, bearing the marks of whips and torture. One man even had a hole that had been severed in his head with maggots that crawled out of his brain through it. While their guests were distracted by the hellish scene unfolding on the street, Delphine and Louis slipped back into their home and locked themselves inside. When the fire department arrived, they discovered an elderly slave woman bound in heavy chains to the hearth of the kitchen. She confessed to setting the kitchen on fire as a suicide attempt to escape the punishment from Delphine in the upper room. She led the men to a heavy oak door with no handle on it, on top of a narrow staircase inside the mansion. When they finally got past the resistant Madame Delphine, they forcefully opened the door into the attic to check any sources of fire or embers that could still be set ablaze. They were overcome by the stench of rot, decay, and death.
It's terrible.
Right. And some of the things that were going on were when these firemen burst down the door, they were throwing up because of the terrible smell that came out of the room.
Yeah.
There were two. So when they walked in, they found two operating tables. Both had a man and a woman on the operating table still alive, but they were not really a man or a woman anymore because they were being forced into a sex change operation.
Oh, no.
So they were trying to switch their genders.
Ooh.
Right. And they were still alive when the firemen burst through. They also found a man with his mouth sewn shut. And when they unsewed his mouth, they had found that Delphine had stuffed feces in his mouth and then sewed his mouth shut. And he was still alive. They also found a male slave chained and his face had been slashed into a T, and each quadrant of the four was peeled back and pinned back so that they could see all the muscles in his face. And they had thought that they had seen him freaking out because his muscles were contracting very quickly and panicking. But it was actually because they had injected maggots into his face. Oh. And that's why his face was moving so much. There were also, of course, dozens of already dead. The crowd was very, very upset. Like, this is obviously one of the most awful things you've ever heard of.
Yeah.
And so this is what happened next. So imagine you're at a party and you see people coming out of the house with it brutally mutilated. You've already been drinking a bit. You're going to be pissed. You're going to be pissed off, more pissed off than if you weren't at that party.
Okay, yes, very true.
These people were mad.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like any of us would be. So this party that was having a good time turned into a violent mob, which it should.
Yeah.
Which it should. So the partygoers immediately wanted justice. There were thousands of people who gathered to actually lynch Delphine and her husband. They demanded their blood for the heinous acts. They grew more and more agitated, and they searched and were unable to find them.
Really?
Yeah. Why? Because money, of course. It's always money. As it turned out, the couple had escaped to the docks and boarded a waiting vessel before the mob could find them. And they even left behind their servant, who had participated in the tortures, to face the fury of the mob.
Oh, man.
So I also read that they hired like $3 million worth of police to keep the mob back until they could get away. And that when they did get away, they slipped away. Delphine actually waved goodbye to the crowd, like so
uncaring.
Or just like tone deaf. I don't know.
Just taunting. Well, you know, for people to do this, they are beyond psychopathic. So to them, getting away is a win. Look at us, we're getting away.
It is said, though, that I did read that the reason that she might have been like this is because she did see her father was decapitated in front of her when she was a child during the slave riot in Santo Domingo.
Oh.
Yeah. So that might have been what
sparks gave her the animosity.
Right.
But her husband? The doctor? The good doctor?
Well, obviously I put a part in it because he wanted to conduct the experiments of the sex changes. He also wanted to see how long a person could be eaten by bugs before they would die.
Oh, my God.
So he was just a lot in... He was just as guilty as her. Oh.
And they found each other and got married.
Yep. Okay, so according to the accounts of the victims, they were mostly men. There could be women and children. And it included a caged woman who had her limbs broken and set in unnatural angles so as to resemble a crab. Like I said, the mutilated sex change operation, a woman whose limbs were removed at an odd circular pieces of skin removed to resemble a human caterpillar. And some had pieces of their face removed to resemble gargoyles. Seven were suspended from their necks and were badly mutilated. Two of the survivors died shortly after their rescue. So there wasn't a lot of hope for any of them to get out anyway.
Yeah.
But most of them died upon leaving anyway. And most of them were put to sleep on purpose. They were euthanized on purpose just because the doctors knew that they would never live.
Yeah, so it's done. It's like there's no way to save you.
Right.
Yeah.
So the ones that didn't die just of a horrific death were dead. There weren't really any survivors of the situation.
Oh, man. Not even the leftover servant.
No, he had to take the rap.
He had to take the rap
for everything that happened.
Man.
So they get away. They first go to New York, and they were seen buying jewelry, going to shows, just acting regular. There's receipts and everything that have been saved from all of the fun things they did while they were in New York. And then they went to Paris and lived out the rest of their lives in luxury in Paris, which is not the story that you want. You want the justice for it. And it's said that the only justice is the guy who was helping them. I'm going to get into now the haunting. Of course, there is going to be a haunting.
The house still exists?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's a historical monument.
I'm scared.
Okay. Now, with all of that torture, I bet you thought it ended there.
Yes.
Obviously scary enough to end there and horrific enough. But, of course, when something that bad happens, it will never be erased.
Yeah.
There will never be freedom from all of the pain that was caused there. So, after the mob realized that they had fled, they tore apart the mansion, leaving it in total despair. So, it was kind of gone.
Yeah.
There it sat, a hulking ruin for decades. Almost immediately, the mansion became a scene of ghostly tales, as people reported hearing the tortured shrieks of the mistreated slaves echoing through the streets surrounding the home. In the 1850s, the mansion was refurbished, but it would never shake the curse of the events that followed in the city of New Orleans. Another thing that I forgot to mention was that when the Lularis lived there, people already thought it was haunted, because they would hear screams coming from the mansion.
Yeah.
And they were also screams accompanied with like a demonic language.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that because there were people not only being tortured there, but when they refurbished the place, they ripped off the floorboards to find 8 human skeletons that had been buried alive.
Mm.
So that means that these people were hearing the real screams of people who are buried alive in the mansion. And the reason they didn't understand the language, they thought it was a demonic language, is because these people were illegally trafficked from a country where they didn't understand the language.
Yeah.
So it was already thought to be haunted before any of this happened.
Oh, man.
So continuing, the owner after owner would come in and with none seeming to last more than a few years at most. Soon, no one wanted to reside in the once grand and glorious mansion. By the 1870s, the mansion was cut up into dozens of tenant apartments, mostly occupied by immigrant dock workers and their families. Man! And you know they told them, oh, nothing, it's all good. Because of their immigrant status, they probably have no idea what happened there.
Yeah.
And they probably don't speak the language well enough to even be told.
Yeah. Also, you know, most immigrants don't want to cause trouble.
Right. And it's like, you're desperate as well.
Yeah, you just go with the status quo.
Their children immediately began to hear unexplained moans and groans. Disembodied screams, burnings of human flesh, dragging chains, and scratching noises under the floorboards would be heard many times in the children's sleep. Their parents experienced a lot of these mysterious phenomena, but wrote it off simply as their child having an overactive imagination. Well, isn't that the truth?
Man.
They always experience it, but they're like, oh no, you're just making it up, yeah, right?
Even though I've seen it too and heard it also.
It's because you can't move. Yeah. So you have to say that to your kids because there's no way to comfort them. It is fairly common knowledge that children are much more attuned to the spirit world, perhaps because their minds are so much more open. Duh, we talk about that all the time. However, this all changed when an immigrant dock worker came home late one evening and found his way up the stairs that was blocked by a large black man bound in chains. He screamed at the man in his native tongue to move. Get out of here!
Yeah.
And when the apparition did not budge, He used his hands to push the figure out of his way. His hands passed right through. The spirit dissolved into a cold mist. By sunrise, the mansion was empty once more, as all of its residents fled in the night. That guy was really brave.
Yeah.
It seemed like, I mean, how did you not know it was an apparition until until you pushed through it?
Well, you know.
Okay, so now you believe the kids, right?
I believe the kids.
Now we believe them. All right. It appears on postcards of the city as early as 1880s, labeled as the House of Haunted in New Orleans. So now they're going to try to start banking off of this, I guess.
Yeah.
People spending the night in the home report waking up in the middle of the night to find a woman with long red hair glaring down at them as they sleep.
Ugh.
That's the first redheaded ghost I've heard of.
Yeah.
The same figure is reported by passerbys on the street below, seeming to stare right through them as they walk by. Many believe this was the spirit of Daphne Lalaurie, returned to New Orleans with her children and disinterred her remains in Paris, returning her bones to a native soil once more. Wait, what does that mean?
Oh, I guess her children brought her bones back to Paris.
Disinterred. I've never heard that word before.
I'd have to look at what you're looking at.
This word right here, disinterred. I guess.
Many believe that the spirit of Delphine Lalaurie returned to New Orleans when her children had disinterred her remains in Paris, returning her bones to her native soil once more. So they took out her remains from Paris and brought them to.
That is something. I mean, that's a good way to get the stench off your name too. It's like, okay, you guys can have her.
Yeah. Let's take her back.
Yeah. She can rot there, and that would be honestly the only fitting thing that could happen with all of the pain she caused there is to be trapped there.
Trapped, stuck, watching other people in her house, which probably upsets her.
Right. Yeah. And you're right. Because she has such an ownership over the house. So she was a redhead.
Mm.
The turn of the last century saw dozens of horrific tales become associated with the mansion. One such story states that in the moments before Daphne fled the city, they pulled up the floorboards in one of the upstairs bedrooms. And like I said, there had been shackled servants still alive with their mouths sewn shut. When their muffled moans, clanking of their chains could be heard, the noise was assumed to be ghosts.
No.
Like I had said. So not only were they buried in there, their mouths were sewn shut, which is something that she likes to do.
Yeah.
Their remains were discovered decades later during a renovation of the home. Yeah. Okay, good. We got it. All right, Nick, what do you think about this?
It's a very terrifying situation.
Do you think I should start over because I messed up too many times?
No, not at all. That would be an even more terrifying situation.
Do you think they get it?
I think they got it. I mean, it's a crazy history story of something that happened in New Orleans.
Right. And then as for the ghosts as well, I did find a story that a young girl who lived there said that she, when she was living there, she would see a girl dangling her legs off of the top of the mansion.
Yeah.
And that she still to this day will not go back.
Yeah.
Even drive by it or anything. That was in the 1960s.
It's crazy.
And then another guy in an interview said that he sees the girl all the time, or he would see the girl all the time, and that he couldn't tell if she was black. He assumed she was one of the slaves, but he couldn't tell because her hair was always in her face and she had her head down.
Mm.
Which is how the girl who lived there in his 60s described it as well.
It's scary.
All right.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Say something about it.
So, I mean, what I'm going to talk about is so much more like Disney than this. I'd actually like put away a story because like, oh, this is way too violent for, wow, extreme.
Okay. Yes, it is. It's really terrible. But I'm actually happy that redheaded ghost is seen there a lot.
Yeah, she's because stuck there.
Yeah, because it kind of like gives any little amount of justice to the people that suffered there so like badly.
Yeah.
There's no more suffering than having your mouth sewn shut or having bugs eat you when you're alive. It's just all of the worst things that you could think of.
Yeah, it was like ultimate torture.
It's a little bit of justice.
Yes, a little bit.
So like I said, the mansion's still there. You want to know what's going on with it now, besides the ghosts?
What? What's going on?
All right, let's get into it. All right, so what's going on right now with the mansion? Probably not a lot of good. I can't imagine that there's a place that has more scary spirits than the spirits of people who are so mangled like that in the worst way possible. I wouldn't want to step foot in there, but of course people, it's kind of a, it's, well, its notoriety makes the building somewhat of a prized possession.
Yes.
But like the Hope Diamond, its beauty and majesty seem to exact a painful price. One owner after the other has come to a bad end. One opened a haunted pub, which he was forced to close a few short years later. Shortly before this, he bequeathed the house to its last documented spirit. A suite upstairs was rented to a curious old man who died just days after moving in, and among his belongings was $10,000 in gold. His spirit still haunts the hallways of the mansion, seeking his misplaced fortune.
Oh, man.
That's really sad because it's like he's got to be there in that really bad energy.
Yeah.
But he really wants that $10,000.
Man, that gold. Give me my gold.
Right, the ghost hunter is going there and he's like, well, ask where my gold is.
It's like, it's gone, old man. No.
Forget it. Owners throughout the decades found their health, sanity, and wealth ruined by the touch of this cursed building. One owner ends his days in an asylum, while another slips into a coma after a bar fight. The most famous owner of all, Nicolas Cage.
Oh, man.
I didn't see that coming.
No, I did not.
Me neither. I was like, wait, the Nicolas Cage? Purchased the home just after Hurricane Katrina. And a few years later, he lost the home in a bankruptcy that would strip him of all of his possessions in New Orleans.
Oh, man, the big Nicolas Cage bankruptcy that yep. makes everyone think he's crazy.
The Declaration of Independence, he lost
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the T-Rex skull that he had.
Right, but that might be what happened to his career.
Yeah, like it was destroyed. Man.
I don't know, we'd have to see when he got it, if it was before or after National Treasure.
Yeah. This is crazy. I remember that moment of like everything was crumbling for him, and I could never tell why. I was like, why do people not like Nicolas Cage that much anymore?
I guess because he bought the mansion. Ooh, now scary. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
Now we got to figure out what happened to like, I'm trying to think of another celebrity that. John Lovitz. Maybe he bought it next.
Oh, no. John Lovitz?
Yeah, that's what happened to his career.
Oh, man. He bought it well, next. I didn't know John Lovitz stopped having a career also.
Oh, I didn't. It was just the first. I'm sorry, John Lovitz. He's going to listen to this. He's like, wait, what does this have to do with me?
I was like, why did you choose John Lovitz?
Wait, what does this have to do with me, Edie?
Yeah, and I mean, it's very wild.
Like, that was a random name to think of out of the millions of names.
Very much so.
Good luck finding another comedian who can move and shake. Like this. All right.
Well, that's
fine. Sorry,
that's
John
scary.
Lovitz. Don't cancel me, John Lovitz. So its current owner, a Texas energy trader, is using the mansion as a weekend home to entertain clients and friends. Here's wishing him the best of luck.
Wow.
Like he's definitely getting some energies.
Man, those Texas guys.
He's an energy trader.
Yep, he's getting some energy.
He's definitely getting...
Like
he's
Monsters,
definitely
Inc.
creating a lot of energies in there. There's definitely a lot of energy that's going down. And that's also just like kind of
Oh,
just...
you know what's crazy? So the big old, the Texas grids shut down where Texas's energy was only owned like by four people. I wonder if it's the same guy.
It must. Well, it's got to be one of the four.
And then the whole state went down and.
Yeah, you're right. And it was
man, I wonder.
I remember people couldn't flush their toilets. People were like breaking down their furniture to use it for fire. It was really bad last year.
Yeah.
I wonder. You're right.
It's crazy. So this is all the
him.
This is all the hauntings of that's affected
yeah.
so many people.
And I bet you it's like really not great for the spirits to, first of all, that the mansion is still up. Second of all, that it's making other people money based on the terrible thing that happened there. Third of all, that this Texas guy is using it to entertain his friends.
Yeah.
Just off the back of what terrible thing happened there.
Yeah.
And that it is still being used by rich people to exploit the pain of the slaves.
That's terrible.
So there's not even rest in
the afterlife for them.
Right. Because it is still, they're still being exploited and their pain is still being used for rich people's benefit.
Wow.
So it will never be until it is gone and everyone can just say, this isn't meant to be owned.
Leave it alone.
This is not, yeah, but no one can because it's, well, I want to have that. I want to have that piece of history. You know, no one can stop being greedy and just let it rest. Let the people who were there rest. It's too much of a commodity. So that's probably why it's still so bad. I won't be going there or taking a ghost tour there or anything like that.
Good.
There's no reason to give more money to rich people who benefit off of the pain that the slaves went through.
You're very right.
All right, cool. That's all I have for that. And if you haven't checked out the American Horror Story depiction of it, it actually is pretty dead on to
which
what
one?
I just read. I'm not sure what season it is. It's the witch one.
Oh, the
That's
coven?
The coven one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let's keep going. The Farmer, written by I Am Unicron.
I want to preface this by saying I've never had night terrors or sleep paralysis. My husband and I were house guests at one of his friend's house while visiting Tucson, Arizona. He's a social butterfly, I'm more of a bookworm. After going out one night and playing card games, I decided to head back. I'd socialized as much as I could handle and it was getting late. My husband dropped me off at the house. I headed upstairs, read a book, and curled up in bed. As I drifted off, I had an uneasy feeling, a powerful sense of loneliness and foreboding. I wanted my husband to be home. I cracked my eyes open a sliver, and in the dark, I saw him, or at least someone or something shaped like him, a tall, wide man with short hair. I opened my eyes wider. "Parker?" I called out, staring at the shadow figure. As soon as I spoke, I heard a shrill, metallic note in my mind, like a musical chord from a throbbing gristle song. Somehow, I just knew, that the thing at the foot of the bed wasn't my husband. My mind fled then, back in time, back to childhood. All I could think of was to get under the blanket. When I finally peeked back out, the figure had vanished. I texted my husband, asking him to come home. As soon as I hit send, the door opened and he walked in. I didn't see the figure again. But I did tell my husband's friend about it. He was nonchalant. "Oh, the farmer?" he said. "Yeah, my mom's seen him too."
All right. Yeah. Well, there we go. This is a story where at least the parents, they believe the kids early on. Oh, yeah, I seen that guy too.
Well, the kids believe the parents. "Yeah, my mom's seen him too. My mom said, there's a farmer here."
And imagine being the parent that comes up to your kids. "I just saw a ghost." And your kids being like, No,
back to bed, mom.
You're going
to
be okay.
Go sleep.
That's like a movie, though. That would be like a movie of like one of those stories where it's like a kitschy TV show. Yeah. Our mom. Oh, crazy mom.
Okay, Jeez. Mom. Go back to bed. You can't be up past 9, mom. Bye-bye.
Anything else you want to say about this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as scary as the story you told, but hey, the farmer.
The scary farmer.
Yeah, there we go.
He's losing money. All right, let's keep going. Mysterious Booms.
As I was looking through all my info on unsolved murders and deep dives into cryptids, I came across a mystery that seems to be happening in current time. Loud booms are waking cities up all over the U.S. It seems like only the local news of those cities is reporting them. People who reported the boom can only describe them as loud explosions that seem to be coming from the sky. Just last night, January 25th, 2022, a whole New Orleans region reported hearing a large explosion in the sky. On September 4th, 2021, in Clarksville, Tennessee, at 10 p.m., loud boom left a weird odor and it kept residents of the Montgomery County perplexed while celebrating Labor Day weekend. San Diego, California had at least 3 unexplained booms happen, with the final one happening on the Tuesday before New Year's. Although many people want to just write off the experiences of earthquakes, the Geological Society said their sensors did not detect any seismic activity. Tuesday, December 7th, 2021, Southwest Florida residents also experienced a mysterious boom. Tuesday, December 21st, 2021, in Central Illinois, authorities have said this one to be caused by a fighter jet. Tuesday, November 2nd, South Mississippi, another boom.
Now, before everyone begins to think it's a Tuesday thing, Monday, November 15th, 2021 in Long Beach, California. Wednesday, November 17th, 2021 in Massachusetts. Friday, Christmas Eve, Baton Rouge. New Year's Day in Pittsburgh in South Carolina. Mysterious booms have been reported since the 1880s. 2019 in Tucson, there was a boom that lasted 30 seconds long, their longest to date. Some are saying the sonic booms are what have become known as skyquakes, which have no known origin. Could be meteors breaking up in our atmosphere, could be underwater caves collapsing. Some scientists say it could be small earthquakes. The biggest takeaway, all of these things are still frightening. Oh, it's just our government aircrafts taking off. Oh, it's just a possible volcano. And the fact that none of it is really confirmed or denied is even crazier. It's like going hunting in a forest, hearing a shrieking and saying, could that be a tree branch falling or a rabid mountain lion? It could also be an atmospheric nuclear bomb test. But the last one the US did was in 2017, so there's no way they're still doing it. In fact, beginning in February 1964 in Oklahoma City, the FAA, Federal Aviation Admin, conducted a controversial experiment named Operation Bongo II, where for 6 months straight, 1,253 sonic booms were generated. They would start at 7 a.m. and end in the afternoon. Why? Just to see if they could ever approve transcontinental supersonic transport. You know, supersonic shipping for your Amazon delivery. Whatever the sonic booms may be, if you hear an explosion that sounds like it's coming from the sky, take solace in knowing that it has hundreds of possible explanations and other people probably heard it too. That's all you can do. Sleep well.
Okay, so it's just a really loud boom.
Just a really loud boom. Okay. Booms that have been happening all over the U.S., possibly all over the world. No explanation, tons of explanations, just a boom.
Wow.
Constantly spooky. Happening. Well, yeah, not as spooky as the haunted house.
Spooky, Nick.
And there's nothing you can do.
It could happen now.
This has been happening all last year. Booms.
I remember there was like a lot of booms going on last year. Yeah. During the pandemic, I was thinking they were testing some kind of weapon.
Yeah, they were testing some kind of weapon.
That's actually probably what it is, because they're not going to tell us they're testing a weapon.
But not many of them have been confirmed as testing weapons. Only a few of them have.
The government doesn't have to confirm anything. They don't care.
So aren't you scared still? Whether it's a weapon, a volcano, aliens, still scared? Isn't it frightening?
It's either a weapon being tested by our government or it's a weapon being tested by the aliens that live in the core of the earth.
Yeah, and you're just fine with anything that it is?
It goes boom.
It goes boom. So,
when
yeah.
We hear booms here all the time and they sound kind of like gunshots. And our landlady came up to us and said, we found some gunshot shells on the ground. Were you guys shooting guns
and
in the
said,
middle
no,
of the night?
No, it's an earthquake.
We were not shooting guns in the middle of the night. It was not us.
Yeah.
But we hear booms around our apartment, too.
Booms. I think the craziest thing was that I found out about, you know, like in Oklahoma City, they just decided doing an experiment where 1,253 booms for 6 months were just generated just to see if people could deal with it.
Yeah. Do you guys, how do you feel about the booms?
And a lot of them were like, it's unpleasant. They celebrated the fact that they were going to be the city testing this. Like, yay, they had a party. Yes. Yay, it's us. And it shattered the windows of their tall buildings. And people were just like unnerved by it. They're like,
wait, boom bad?
Yeah, we didn't like it, but
we didn't like the boom.
And they were like, the final results of the people that conducted it said, yeah, you know, residents could live with it. But of course, you know, it was
right.
A terrible thing.
I mean, they used to test like the atomic bomb and stuff like that in Nevada.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the people in Vegas could probably feel something, or even the people in California.
No, they tested in the atmosphere. They tested underwater. It's wild.
Right. And remember, there was just that huge tsunami thing that happened.
Yep, the volcano.
There was a volcano eruption underwater and it was supposed to cause a tsunami. But now I'm wondering if that was even true.
I mean, think about it. That's what's scary. Okay, so sure, this isn't a haunted house of tortured souls, but this is just, you know, all of us saying, what is it? I don't know.
What can we do?
Okay, couldn't do nothing.
All right.
We couldn't do nothing.
Wow, Nick, don't leave me alone for 3 days. Maybe this boom will get me.
No, I already told you. All you can do is sleep well.
All right, guys.
Well, that's not it. One more story.
Okay, let's do the last story. I'm in anticipation of a boom. was that a boom?
Well, I mean, after hearing your story, I was like, I should have gone first. No,
if there was any kind of boom, I would be incredibly scared.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to act tough in front of the fans.
I know you are. I'm scared.
Even a peep would scare me.
I mean, the original story I wanted to do, I thought, no, there's no way we should talk about torture and murder.
Okay, let's get on. So before we get to the last story, don't forget to join us on the Facebook group, Instagram, and website, all at True Scary Stories with Edie and Nick. Make sure to share your scary story with us so we can read it on the podcast, or just come and hang out. Besides that, don't forget to give us 5 stars. It really does help us a lot. If you're not going to give 5 stars, don't even think about going.
Yeah.
There's no point. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I'll be in Glendale, Arizona, February 11th and 12th, and sometime in El Paso in March or somewhere.
All right, this last story is called The Handshake, and it comes to us from Helpful Pug.
This story happened when I was about 5 or 6, as I remember. First, when I was very young, I had one hell of an imagination. I would often stay up way too late reading books. I was a really early reader. Redwall, Warhammer. I had a strong natural ability for language, and terrible parents will do that to a kid. One night, I just sat up thinking. I had started a conversation with what I thought was, well, myself. However, it started to surprise me and say things that I didn't even really understand. I was kind of freaked out at first, but it's very supportive. Not exactly a voice, but an idea. It really gave me the impression that it really wanted to talk to me. My mother was very religious, so I just assumed it was an angel and didn't even question it. After I had fully accepted that I was probably talking to something, it started to offer me things. I don't really remember what it offered exactly, though it sounded nice. It reminded me of The Hobbit and Narnia specifically. Retrospectively, I think the offers were more appropriate for an adult. It offered things like magnetic personality and success in business or whatever. Stuff a kid would kind of get as valuable, but not really understand the context of. It didn't make any demands at first. Once I started to warm up to the idea, the demand was made. All it wanted was my soul. It pointed out that I didn't even really use it. How could I, when I didn't even know where it was? It started to all kind of make sense to me. After what felt like hours of talking to this thing, I finally decided to agree to its terms. The whole time I felt a little off, but I didn't really see any reason why I felt off. It kind of felt like watching my dad when he was really angry, but hadn't found an excuse to blow up yet. So, I agreed. The not exactly voice then told me that I had to seal the deal. All it wanted was a handshake. That's all. I thought, that sounds reasonable, so I agreed. Now, up until this point, I hadn't been entirely convinced that I wasn't just imagining things. I read a lot of British humor, Douglas Adams stuff, and the idea that I could surprise myself wasn't entirely nuts to me. At this point, a window opened up in front of me. A little unassuming circle in the air. It was definitely shocking, but it all felt kind of slow, like a dream, but weird and consistent in ways that none of my dreams have ever been. The circle was all green and blurry. I couldn't see through it to the other side, which I desperately wanted to. It had clearly defined borders of what I think was green light. A hand came out of the window. It's a really nice hand, yet very cold. Like remarkably smooth and soft. The first thing I noticed. Now, I remember reaching out for the hand. And for a while, I just tried to convince myself I never really actually shook the hand. But as an adult, I realized I did. As I shook the hand, it clearly changed into what I can only describe as rot. Horrible, messy, sloppy rot. I withdrew immediately. I was scared out of my mind. I don't exactly remember what happened immediately after that, but I do remember the sensation of waking up. At first, I just dismissed it as a dream, but as I thought about it, it really did not seem like a dream. I sort of searched my mind for whatever it was that just happened, but just felt the normal old me in there. The room was dark. My brother was asleep in the room. He refused to sleep alone. I was forced to share a room with him until my teens, and I remember after that, I started to have real issues with darkness. I began to not like the dark after all. It took me a long time to become even remotely comfortable with the dark again. I still only half remember everything about the night except for that hand, that horrible rotting hand. Anyway, that's my experience. I also thought I saw a ghost once. I started screaming bloody murder and woke up the whole house. It was just a silk shirt in a fan. Maybe I have an overactive imagination. Maybe I was sensitive to the supernatural already thanks to previous experience. Maybe I sold my soul to an unknown entity. Maybe all three. I don't know exactly.
That's such a bad idea to shake anything's hand because you don't even know what he could have said. He could have said, you have to go on a date with me when you become 18.
Oh, okay. Shake my hand. Now we're on a weird date. Make small talk with the hand.
You're right. And with just the hand. You're right.
Man.
I mean, you have no idea what you're making a deal on.
Yeah. You know, this is, I think I've talked about it before. This isn't the first time that I've heard of somebody who was offered a deal with an entity. A friend of mine, when he was younger, said that he used to be visited in his dreams at night by this, like, silvery specter. And it would just watch him in his bed. And then one day he reached out in the dream and grabbed it. And the figure was like, you're not supposed to do that. You know?
There's right? rules.
Yeah, there's rules. But then said, well, since you did, come with me and I'll give you every piece of knowledge you've ever wanted to know. I'll let you know everything. The only thing is, you will no longer exist in this world.
Uh-uh.
You know, and he didn't do it. But it's strange that there's the... And he was also kind of a smart, you know, book nerd kind of guy who stayed up late and imagined things. And these creative minds that these entities go after and make deals with. And all it is a handshake.
Right. And then they need to write a cool book about it.
That's how I got into a podcast. Edie was like, do you want to do a podcast with me? And it was in my head.
Shake my hand.
The only way to make this deal. And then her hand dissolved into mine. And,
wow. And, that is what happened.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, you guys, for listening to True Scary Stories with Edie and Nick. We love you guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Go give us 5 stars. Come on. Do it. Why not?
Yeah.
All right. We love you. Stay safe. Wash your hands.
Boom.
Boom. Oh, just kidding.